Father, we just pray in Jesus' name that you will open our understanding tonight to understand the scriptures, to understand what the Spirit is saying to this church and to us as individuals tonight. Lord, we pray, Holy Spirit, take the things of Jesus and reveal them to us. Seal, Lord, this instruction into our hearts. Grant us the understanding that, Lord, it may produce a harvest of righteousness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Listen, this is a new year. It's a year of new beginnings. We've been called, each one of us, not to warm a pew, as you know, but to be equipped and to be sent out in the spirit, if you will, of Elijah, in the spirit of boldness and of power. God has given us an assignment in the earth to represent Him, to declare His kingdom at hand, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to cleanse the lepers, to raise the dead. Amen. We've received freely and we are to give freely. And so what we need to understand is that it's not enough to just believe that you have authority. We can be ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. There are many who learn all kinds of Bible doctrine and teaching. And it's important that we are being taught, right? Would you agree with that? That we're being instructed in the Word. But the purpose for the instruction is so that we may learn how to walk it out. Because it's not enough just to even to know who we are. We need to live out who we are. We need to understand my identity in Christ, right? We need to know who we are in Christ. But for the purpose of that is so that we may walk it out, that we may live it out. So God has given already to His church everything that she needs, all right, everything that pertains to life and godliness. Jesus has already destroyed the works of the devil. Jesus has triumphed over all the hosts of hell and of Satan. He's already done it. Forgiveness has already been paid for. It's already been done. It doesn't have to be repeated. It's been done. What we need to do is receive what He's already done. We're not working towards something. We are in a position of believing what God said and by faith receiving His promises. We're not working for God, but we're walking with God in agreement, believing that everything that He promises is true and that it's for me. All of His promises are for you and for me. It's not just for spiritual Joe over there, all right? It's for you and for me. It's for everybody. We can learn from the examples of others who are learning how to walk it out. Amen? Learning how to walk by faith. But the key here is that God wants you to turn to Him as an individual and shift away from depending on everybody else around you and start learning how to walk with Him. Get acquainted with Him. Know Him. Know His voice. And when you hear His instruction, begin to obey what He says. And as we take little steps of obedience, God begins to reveal Himself to us. He begins to manifest Himself in all places. In Colossians 2:15, it says that Jesus has disarmed principalities and powers. He's made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it, in the cross. And so it's already been done. And again, I want to repeat this from this morning, but James 2:18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works and I will show you my faith by my works. So it's not this mentality of I do nothing because it's not by works. That's a distortion. That's not what God is saying at all. As a matter of fact, when you are walking with Jesus, you are going to work with Jesus. You're not working for Him, you're working with Him. He works with you. This morning we mentioned the yoke. You know about the yoke. You got to get yoked up with Him. You're not in this by yourself. You've got Jesus with you. Everywhere you go, Jesus is right there. Whether you sense Him or feel Him or see Him, He's there with you. And He is the powerful one. Amen? And so when we hook up with Him who's all powerful, who has all authority, then, hallelujah, the road becomes easy. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why? Because we're cruising with Jesus. We're not trying to carry it. We're not working for God and trying to make stuff happen. We're simply walking with Him. And when you walk with Him, you will work with Him. He will work with you. And we will accomplish the will of God. So faith has to have action. Faith requires action. Faith is not genuine without action. There are some passive Christians who think that I'm just going to sit around and hope that someday something big will happen for me. Now, have you met anybody like that? Does he just sit around and they hope something good is going to happen or God's going to do something for them? We're waiting for God to do something that He has already done. We're waiting for something to happen that He's already accomplished. He's already given to us everything that pertains to life and godliness. It's a matter of, by faith, receiving what He's already promised. Well, if an angel comes down or a lightning bolt from heaven, then I'll believe. See, God wants us to believe Him. He wants us to take Him at His word. His word is good enough. Would you agree? Yeah. If He said it, that settles it. I believe it. Yeah. So faith in what God promises. It's not enough even to know what the promise is. It has to be mingled with faith. Faith is saying that I believe to the degree that I'm going to step out in that. Well, I believe that healing is for today. Great. Are you walking in healing today? See, that's the difference. Well, I believe that tongues are for today. Great. Are you speaking in tongues? You see, it requires an action on our part. We've been talking about the Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. Every one of those gifts require you and I to do something together with Jesus. Yes. Jesus says, now go do that. Do this? Okay, I'll go do that. And you step out and you just do the little thing that Jesus tells you to do. And as soon as you do it, it's like Jesus is right there with you. Why? Jesus is going to be, amen, in the place that He has ordained. That which He approves of, He's going to be there. In other words, where I am, my servant's going to be also. So the fact is, we've got to know where Jesus is at, what He's doing, and get with Him and stay with Him. In our daily walk, we have to find out where Jesus is at. Lord, what's going on today? What do you want to do today? What are we going to be doing together today? Amen. And as we're walking through the day, we are looking for opportunities. Amen. We're keeping our eyes open to what Jesus is doing. And when we see something, we perceive in our spirit, Jesus is in this. And we begin to agree with what He's saying and start doing what He's showing us to do, then you see the results of that. But what happens is so often we are asking God to do for us what He's told us to do. We're asking God, do this, God, do that. And God is saying, you do that, you do this. I told you to do it already. What part of Matthew 28 don't we believe, right? What part of the Great Commission don't we understand? Hey, come on, we want to know what the will of God is, right? It's right there. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's right. Well, I can't do that. Yes, you can. You can do all things through Christ because He's with you. As you're yoked with Him, as you're walking with Him, you will also work with Him. You can't say you're walking with Him and not be working with Him. Why? Because Jesus is busy. He is busy on the earth, folks. He has got, amen, a commission and a plan. He is calling you and I to be about His business and winning the lost. Amen? and healing the sick and casting out devils and cleansing the lepers and raising the dead. Jesus is telling us to do these things. He's already told us to do these things. We don't have to wait for something to happen from heaven. He's already given the Holy Spirit. Do you have the Holy Spirit tonight? Then you need to just start listening to what He said and be looking for opportunities to do what He already showed you to do. One of these days never comes. That's the problem. One of these days, I'm really going to commit myself. One of these days, I'm going to serve the Lord. When I'm done, when I'm retired, then I'll have lots of time to serve. No, if you're not serving Jesus now, you're probably not going to serve Him when you retire. If you're not walking with Him now in the little thing, don't expect the big thing. Remember when God told Moses to lift up his rod? It was what the rod represented was God-given authority. God was telling Moses to start exercising the authority He already gave him. It was already in his hand. Do you realize that you have the authority tonight if you're in Christ? Well, that was Moses. Well, that was Elijah. Well, that was Abraham. That was Joseph. That was Jacob. No! You and I in Christ, amen, have everything available to us to accomplish the will of God. And to do things that are way beyond anything we could do naturally. Because faith is not doing what you can do naturally. Faith is stepping out beyond what I can do into the realm where God is. Amen? And what He's doing, I'm stepping into the place where Jesus is at. If Jesus is on the water, I get out of the boat and I get on the water with Him. If He's in the boat, stay in the boat with Him. How many know there's a time to be in the boat? There's a time to be on the water. Sometimes we want to step on the water, but we haven't been prepared in the boat yet to do that. Just kind of reviewing a little bit from this morning. You'll never see a miracle playing it safe. You know, just staying in our little bubble, our little comfort bubble, because it's predictable there. I can pretty much determine what's going to happen here. But you know what? God has a way of messing that bubble up too. Have you noticed that? Just when you think everything is so predictable and comfortable and you've just surrounded yourself, you put yourself in this great big shell, God has a way of saying, no, I don't want you in this shell. I want you hatched. I want you out of the shell. Hallelujah. Because as I mentioned this morning, if a chick continues to stay in the eggshell too long, he'll rot. God wants His people hatched. He wants you out of your shell, out of yourself, into the place where He is. That's the realm of faith. And when we step out for Jesus because He is there, and because He's told us to do that, whether it makes sense or not to our natural reasoning, it's a matter of believing God to the degree that we will do whatever He tells us to do. Because I've said it before many times, you know this, but most of the time when God's in it, it's going to be beyond you. You know, because often we will just judge everything by what we could do naturally. I can serve God comfortably in church, you know, go through the motions, get involved in the program, do this and do that, and really not have to walk in faith at all. There's many churches that are just in this kind of program-driven mode. We've got all the bells and the whistles and, you know, the programs and all this stuff, but do you have the substance? You know, God wants us to be world changers. He wants us to make a difference in our community, in our families. And we can't do that playing it safe, staying inside the bubble of predictability where I control everything. Because God is constantly trying to get us to turn away from ourselves. Get your eyes off yourself and start to look out. Look upon the harvest fields. Look up around you and see the people that are lost and they're dying without Christ. We cannot minister to people when we're consumed with ourselves. We so long in the church have just been in this maintenance mode of, I just come and I get another shot and I get another, you know, I get another treatment. And then I go out there and I get beat up for the week and I come back in and I get another shot, I get another treatment and I just barely survive. Come on, God purchased a victory already for us. We are to live victorious. We are not to live bound. We are not to live in depression. We're not to live in all that funk that the world wants to put on you. Jesus has already given to us everything. Everything. What part of everything don't we get, right? Everything that pertains to life and godliness. It's a matter of getting a hold of God. We talked about the Red Sea. You know, the Red Sea was a barrier that was preventing them from entering into a destiny that God had for them. But it wasn't too big for God. It was too big for them, yes. And they begin to cry out, God save us. And then they begin to grumble and complain and say, wouldn't it be better if we just went back to Egypt? We told you, Moses, we didn't want to leave. Many of them, they actually didn't want to leave. It was more comfortable in bondage. That's true. People get comfortable in bondage. They live their life in bondage. Well, I just have to go, and it's just my lot in life. It's like, you know what? Get rid of that mentality. Start believing God. God wants to stretch you out of where you're at right now. God wants to take us from glory to glory, from faith to faith. Don't get comfortable in a place where you've been. I don't want to be where this year where I was last year. I want to have grown. I want to have stretched. I want to have gone on. I want to have grown in faith. Yes. And we can't do that if we don't trust God to the degree that we're going to start obeying Him and doing what He tells us to do. And I have found, and maybe you know what I'm talking about today, but every time that I have stepped out, every time I've obeyed Him, even when it was scary, that the Lord always granted me the grace that I needed to have victory. And not only that, to have joy. Even if I got rejected by somebody, I could still smile at them, say, God bless you. You have a wonderful day. Oh, they hate that. But you don't have to allow, you know, your external circumstances to dictate what's going on in here. We believe and we move in the authority that God has given us. It's not enough to know we have it. We've got to start exercising our faith. We need to start practicing our faith. We had a good practice this morning, didn't we? And God moved and some people were touched. And that's what it's all about. Now, we talked about the mountain, when Jesus said, you know, if you have faith and you don't doubt, you can speak to the mountain. He didn't say, ask the Father and He will remove the mountain. He said, you speak to the mountain. In other words, exercise the authority that I've given you to move that thing. Because what most of us will do is we'll sit around in prayer meetings in our little bubble. And we'll say, God, do this. God, do that. God, kill the giant. God, deal with that problem. God, deal with that problem. And God is saying, do this. And I'll remove the stones. I'll remove the giant. See, that's faith. Faith is not just sitting around asking God to do it. We are to walk by faith, believing that He has already given us what we need. Amen. The weapons of our warfare are mighty in God, to pulling down strongholds. We have been given spiritual authority. We have been received power when the Holy Spirit's come upon us to be a witness. Amen. And to bear witness to the fact that Jesus is not in the grave, but He's alive and He's on the throne and He's healing people today. He's setting prisoners free today. Hallelujah. We don't have to tolerate the devil anymore. He's already been destroyed. His power's already been broken. Now He says, now you go. All authority's been given unto Me in heaven and earth. Now you go. You go, He said. And I'll be with you. Amen. A typical believer is to operate in the supernatural. We are supernatural people. But if you don't believe that, you'll never see miracles. You'll never see anything other than what the natural will offer you. And I don't know about you, but I want the riches of the kingdom. Amen. I want that which is eternal. I want to tap into what God has. You remember we spoke a couple weeks ago about how through our prayers and through our worship, how we are actually seeding heaven. We are actually putting into our account in heaven. Hallelujah. Amen. All these prayers that are coming up before God. And it's, if you will, there's this account that's being filled. And it's not enough just because we've been praying for years and years. Folks, there's got to be something there, hallelujah, that you should be able to tap into and bring down. That's why God tells us to pray that heaven and earth will come together, because it's our responsibility to ask, to seek, and to knock. Because if you don't ask, you don't seek, and you don't knock, you don't receive. You don't find. And the door's not open. And so you have a boring existence. Your Christianity is going to be stagnant and stale. But as we're praying and sowing in the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, praising God, petitioning God, continue to petition God. And then, hallelujah, you come in and there's it's just like hanging there in the atmosphere. When we pray, you know, the reason why you walk into this church and you feel the presence of God is because people are praying. Yes. Amen. There's an account, hallelujah, for this church, for this body. So what we do is by faith, we tap into that. Hallelujah. I heard somebody talk one time, it's like a pinata.
Yeah.
You gotta pierce that thing and let it come out. Amen. Which is called breakthrough. We pray till there's a breakthrough, amen? But it's by faith. It's by taking action, by taking steps of action based upon what Jesus has already told us to do, that we'll start to see that this is real. Just like that woman the other day who got healed in a restaurant, and it was just amazing because she didn't realize that God would do something like that for her. And there's people everywhere that don't realize that Jesus Christ, amen, is still the same. And He's working in His people now on the earth. Wow, we get to do this. Now, if you would, turn in your Bibles to Ezekiel 37. Most of us are familiar with this, but just take a look at this, because this has to do also with faith. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 4. This is where the prophet was given the vision in which the dry bones were to be resurrected and they were to become a mighty army to serve the Lord. This is really speaking also of national Israel, where God even now has been bringing His people, amen, back. He's taking them out of the graves of the nations. See, the graves represent the nations. He's pulling them out of the graves and He's bringing them back into their land. And the Lord has promised that He's going to redeem His people. There's going to be conversion of the Jewish people. Amen? But you and I in the covenant with Abraham and the covenant of Christ, hallelujah, are also partakers of the same divine nature and the blessings. So that you and I should also understand that what God says to Israel, He's also saying to His church. That means that we can learn something from what happened in Ezekiel's day. These things were written down for our admonition upon which the ends of the world have come. And so here it is, verse 4. And He said, prophesy to these bones. Say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Ezekiel 37, verse 4. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So verse 7, I prophesied as I was commanded. What did He do? He took action. He obeyed. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling and the bones came together. bone to bone. Indeed, as they looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. In other words, he had a partial miracle. How many know that God often does things in stages in our lives? Go here, and then I'll show you what to do next. Go to the brook Cherith, amen? And it's there that I will reveal to you what you're to do next. Step by step, you see throughout Scripture that men and women that were led by the Spirit were moved incrementally. But they could not get anywhere unless they were willing to take the steps to get there. And so if you're playing it safe and you're not listening to God, don't expect to reach your destiny. Do you know that it's our responsibility to reach our destiny? God has already provided everything that we need to get there. But folks, He's not going to do it for you. He wants to do it with us. And we do that as we walk with Him and as we work together with Him. And chapter Ezekiel 37, 4 through 6. And then he said here, what was he told to do? What did God tell him to do? Yeah. Now, come on. I mean, most of us would say, that's kind of a strange thing to talk to bones, talk to dead bones, dry bones. But see, God's ways are not our ways. And so we've got to do what He tells us to do, whether it makes sense in our natural understanding or not, because His ways are higher than our ways. And now, during the time when Ezekiel prayed, folks, I want you to hear this, nothing happened. He first needed a word from the Lord. You know, we can pray and we can pray and we can pray. And we can even have quite an account in heaven. But we have to be listening for the voice of God. Because the next step is that we have to get a word from God. And once you receive a word from God, you know His word is good. And so when you act upon the word of God, then it becomes a reality. Heaven invades earth. That which is invisible becomes visible because we heard His voice and obeyed His voice. So while he prayed, nothing happened. But what he did get was a word from the Lord. And so there has to be faith mixed with the word of God. Would you agree?
Yes.
And so after receiving a word, the miracle began to happen. When he first prophesied to the bones. And then what did he say in verse 7 and 8? So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. You see, if Ezekiel had only prayed, but he had not prophesied, nothing would have happened. This is the problem with many today in the church, folks. And this is what I'm learning myself. Is that we're ever praying for things. But sometimes we're very slow to start stepping out in what's already been given freely. You see, we've asked. And when you ask, you receive. And once you receive, you have to then activate it by faith. Amen? People pray for the Holy Spirit. Remember the times of tarrying for the Holy Spirit? Praying, pray, 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 pray. I mean, you just, you know, whatever, you know. Just abasing yourself and praying, crying and screaming and crying out. And well, you got to pray louder. You got to pray longer. You got to pray harder. No, you got to believe God when you ask for something.
Amen.
You didn't have to go through all that. You just simply had to believe God that when you ask for the Holy Spirit, He's going to give it to you.
Amen. Amen.
Oh.
Amen.
I mean, that's how I kind of got brought up into the faith. You know, when I got saved and I got plugged in, it was like that. Until I realized that I didn't have to do all that. I had to receive, that's all. It's already given freely. It's there. I just, by faith, I receive it. What do you do when you receive something from somebody? You say, thank you. Thank you, Lord. He was to call the breath of God from the four winds and then to breathe into the dead bodies. The breath of God was to breathe into the dead bodies. And he spoke to both the bread, the breath and the bones. In other words, he spoke to the natural and the spiritual. What God wants to do is spiritualize the natural. So you notice that he spoke first to the wind, the breath, the Holy Spirit. Come from the Ruach. Yeah. Come from the four winds. Breathe on your people. What did he do? He prophesied to the wind and then he prophesied to the bones. So the spiritual overshadowed the natural. Heaven, amen, came down. And it raised up an exceeding great army. It was a supernatural thing that happened. But it wouldn't have happened unless Ezekiel had first got the word and then obeyed the word and stepped out. And by faith, he activated that word, became life because he spoke. He prophesied as God had commanded him to. Same thing is true about healing. When we pray for the sick, you know, I mean, there's a time we are supposed to pray. Are you right, are you with me, right? We're to ask. We are to seek and we are to knock. But for so long, much of the church has only been asking and asking and asking and asking and asking and asking. And often what we've asked for, God has already given the answer. And sometimes people are saying, well, I just want to know what the will of God is. And God is constantly repeating himself, repeating himself, repeating himself. Well, I keep hearing this, hearing this over and over and over again, but I'm not sure if God is speaking to me. Believe me, if God is speaking to you, he will continually speak to you.
Yeah.
And he's saying, how long is it going to take you to begin to identify my voice here? Do you get it that I've been speaking to you all along? And we're looking for the angelic messenger when God is speaking in your thoughts over and over again. You want to know why? Because your natural thoughts are not going to line up with God's thoughts. But when you're born again, all of a sudden you will start to will and to desire to do the good pleasure of God. It's something that you'll want to do in you because God has put it in you. It's the Spirit speaking to you, to your spirit. So often we're just praying for the sick, but sometimes, you know, God is saying, and this is something, you know, that we're doing, we're practicing, is you pray and you ask. When Jesus, amen, went to see Lazarus, who, by the way, he allowed to die, amen, they said, Jesus, our brother Lazarus is sick to death, and so Jesus hung out for another 4 days until he was good and dead. And so then they were offended at Jesus because they didn't do things the way they thought he should. And so when Jesus shows up, the first thing he does is he wept. And I wonder if it wasn't that because he knew he could raise Lazarus, but often because people had doubted him. And the first thing he does is he prays to the Father. And he prayed to the Father and he actually said in the prayer, Father, I'm only saying this for the sake of those who are standing around here. So that they'll believe.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yes.
He was just trying to help them say, hey, I'm just doing this so you kind of get a grip on this. And then he spoke specifically. He spoke and said, Lazarus, come forth. He prophesied to the dead man. Amen. And he came forth. So you see the prayer and then the prophecy. Amen? The prayer and then the spoken word.
Yes.
So we pray for the sick and then we speak to sickness. We speak to disease. Amen? And we tell it where to go.
Yes.
We pray and then we speak to demons and we tell them to go to hell. Amen?
Yes.
We tell them to get out in Jesus' name. If we just sit around and pray, God, help this person. God, help this person. Folks, I don't know about you, but that's not casting demons out. That's asking God to do something that he's already told you to do. And if you simply believe him when he says, these signs will follow them that believe. They will cast out demons. Now what do? When we see it, we just say, wait a minute, we don't have to tolerate you. We have been given authority over you. I don't care how ugly you want to make a face and the ugly things you want to say and trying to make yourself look. It's kind of like the puffer fish that goes, poof. Ain't all that, but he makes himself look like all that. Or the cat, you know. Because Jesus has already defeated our enemy. So what we need to do is we need to deal with. See, folks, don't be afraid of the devil. Don't fear your adversary, because Jesus has overcome him. And Jesus is in you, and Jesus is with you, and Jesus is working with us. He's right there with you. And if you encounter it, then you just take authority that he's already given to you, and you exercise it, and you speak to it. And in the name of Jesus, you get out. You see, you deal with it. When you, I've used this example, but for those of you who haven't heard it, I think it's a good example. But that which you have authority over will obey you. And that which you know you have authority over, amen, you will speak with authority too. So if you know that your children are under your authority, they're supposed to be, by the way. They're not supposed to be telling you what to do. God gave you authority as parents, amen, to raise up your children the way they should go, and they are to obey their parents. And so when I say, forgive me if your name is Johnny, but I say, Johnny, come here. You know? Now, if Johnny has been trained properly, and he understands that daddy means business when he calls Johnny, Johnny's going to come. But if I get into the negotiation thing with my kid and say, Johnny, would you please... If it's not an inconvenience, he's saying, they don't mean business. Pah! You know? The same thing is true about your adversary. You've got to know who you are, and you've got to know that Jesus' word is true. Believe, put your whole heart into this right here, what he said. And you need to know that those things are subject to you in Jesus' name. Amen. That's how you deal with them. You don't play patty cake with them. You don't have to negotiate. And you don't have to have a conversation. How many are there? How many? Blah, 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 blah. We're going on and on and on and on and all this stuff. And it's, you know what? Don't believe the devil because he tells lies. Amen. You're asking him to help you out with deliverance? He'll help you out, all right. Now, don't get me wrong. I've heard people say that they command them before Jehovah God not to tell the lie. But, folks, we look at Jesus. Amen. And it was for the sake of those who were around that Jesus often did things. Because he was demonstrating to us how to deal with these things. Hold your peace and come out. He took authority. And you know why they obeyed Jesus? It's because they knew he knew who he was. You know, the devils will know if you know who you are. And if you know you have authority... You believe what God said by faith, they will have no choice. I've had them say, I ain't coming out. And you know what you say to that? Oh, yes, you will. It's not even an option. You will come out. You will obey. And in Jesus' name, you go. Deal with them that way. You don't negotiate. You don't play patty cake with them. You just deal with them. Amen? Because people's lives are at stake. These spirits are destroying people. And we love and we don't want to put up with that. Now, God is wanting to resurrect a spiritually dead church. We're not dead. But folks, a lot of the church is sleeping. Awake, awake, O sleeper. Arise, Isaiah 60, the Lord keeps speaking to me, Isaiah 61 and 2. Arise and shine, for your light has come.
Yes, yes,
Do you believe your light has come?
Yes.
You've already got the light. You've got Jesus. You've got Christ in you. Your light has come. So arise and shine. Stand up for Jesus because He's standing with you.
Yes.
How many have realized it wasn't until you stood up for Jesus that He stood up? It wasn't until you stepped out for Jesus that He stepped out with you. It wasn't until you obeyed His voice that there was the manifestation, even of the miracles. See, God wants to equip us. He wants to prepare you and I to do the work of the ministry. He didn't come just to have fat churches and full of people that just do their church thing. But Jesus came that we might expand and the kingdom and win the nations for Christ.
Yeah.
And you are a world changer. You are to change your world. Your place of work, the place of your appointment on this earth is your realm of influence. You can change the way things go in your environment. You start prophesying in your environment. Start speaking in your environment. Start walking into your workplace that's contentious and negative and start saying, I decree righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. This is going to be a place where there's salvation and healing and deliverance. Come from the four winds, breath of God, breathe on these dry bones, hallelujah, that they might live. Start speaking to your situation. Folks, I walk around this place. Every time we have meetings, I walk around here and I start doing decrees around here and I start speaking blessings over this. Amen. Because I know there is power in the word. Amen.
Amen.
The spoken word that is in agreement with what the Father wants to do. He wants righteousness, peace, and joy for His people. So that's what we're going to receive. Hallelujah. Am I right, Don? When you're in your cab and you start praising the Lord, man, you're going down the street and you're just praising the Lord, heaven fills the cab.
Amen.
You didn't have to wait to get to church. Amen?
Amen.
So let's not only pray for the church, but let's prophesy and speak to the dry bones using the authority that God has already given you. You have authority in Jesus' name. Is Christ in you?
Yes.
Do you know that Jesus is in you?
Yes.
If you don't know, you need to know. If you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, open your heart and let God fill you. Amen? With His dunamis, His dynamic working power, so that you can bear witness to the resurrection in signs and wonders and miracles. And so that when you speak the word of God, you speak with the authority that the Spirit gives you. So that your words are not falling to the ground, but they are finding, amen, a place in the hearts of people. How important it is that we are worshipers. How important it is that we are petitioners, that we are coming and we are praying and we're asking God. But even still, folks, there's something else that needs to be coupled with that is called faith. So not only do we pray, but then we start to step out and we start to speak to situations. We start to declare the word of the Lord. Are you with me? Amen. We start to speak to sickness, speak to disease, speak to demons. And make them go. Speak to the mountain and say, get out of my way. Speak to the giant and say, you uncircumcised Philistine, you defy, amen, the living God and His armies. But you come at me with sling and sword, but I come at you in the name of the Lord, amen. And we come against him. He didn't run away from the giant. He ran at him because little David had something rise up in him and is called the faith of God.
Yes.
And in the faith of God, he was able to take down the giant where the rest of them were probably saying, God help, God help, God help.
Yeah.
You see, that's what God wants to do with you and me, is he wants us to get out of the God help place to the God I'm going to do now place.
Right.
Yeah. It's the only way we're going to get the job done. It's the only way we're going to get the job done. As God says, I want you to minister. I want you to speak to this person. Just do it. Sometimes, folks, it's just as simple as saying, you know, God bless you. Have a wonderful day. Something that just it imparts life, grace to those who hear. And they look at your life and they say, there's something different about you. Because you're filled with the Holy Spirit, they're gonna get the manifestation of His presence wherever you go. Have you ever had anybody say there's something different about you? Your face glows. There's a peace about you in your eyes. What is that? Let me introduce you to my best friend. Let me introduce you to the one who's given me peace. So, let us walk in the Spirit. Now, I'm going to finish with Psalm 68. Let God arise and His enemies be scattered. Let those also who hate Him flee before Him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of God. What is He talking about? He's talking about arising up in your anointing and in your authority. And what will happen is the enemies of God will be destroyed as we walk with God. Thank you, Jesus.